Penguin Random House Audio presents Age of Consent by Amanda Brainerd. Read for you by Alex McKenna. For Chip. Part 1. 1. Connecticut, September 1983.
Let me out,
Justine said. It's only 100 yards to the dorm, her father replied.
Stop the car!
Miles pulled the wheezing orange Volvo onto the shoulder, and Justine surveyed the Griswold campus through the bug-spewed windshield. Manicured lawns with a mix of brick and clapboard clustered around a quad they called the Green.
Lugging that heavy suitcase is a lot more embarrassing than showing up in the Rustmobile, he said.
Oxygen,
she said, opening the door and hauling her suitcase out of the back seat.
Honey?
He needed a shave and his eyes were moist with tears.
Don't forget,
he trailed off.
I won't.
She shut the door and began walking across the lawn.
Don't forget what?
Now the suitcase was making ugly divots in the perfect grass. She glanced around to see whether anyone noticed, but nobody was there. Justine arrived in front of the dorm, sweating. She blew a wave of hair out of her face. A few weeks ago, sitting at their kitchen table in New Haven, her mother had pushed aside the toast crumbs and dirty teacups to read the letter describing Justine's new roommate, pausing here and there for dramatic emphasis.
Tierney Worthington, 234 Victory Gardens,
Moodus, Connecticut, Cressida had mused.
Moodus? How unusual.
Not the predicted Greenwich or Darien? Justine fought the urge to snatch the letter back.
Maybe Griswold isn't so homogeneous after all,
Cressida continued.
More than just heiresses and tennis champions.
Don't count on it,
Miles grunted, frowning over his glasses. The dorm was a small colonial house with a columned porch. Justine saw several similar quaint houses around the green with harried parents unpacking trunks in front of them. As she hauled her suitcase up the steps, a silver car pulled in, a chrome panther leaping from its hood. A man in Bermuda shorts opened the trunk and heaved a suitcase onto the gravel.
Tierney, exactly what did you pack? Rocks?
A tree-torn sneaker appeared from the back seat, followed by a pretty, freckled girl with a ponytail. Justine trudged up the steps and opened the door. A living room off the stair hall had two sofas, a framed impressionist poster, and aggressively floral wallpaper. The carpet was hunter green, worn down from years of tree torns, Justine thought, looking down at her pointy hot pink flats. She'd bought them at a thrift shop in New Haven, and until seconds ago, they had seemed so cool. Now, she realized they were trashy and cheap. She climbed the stairs and found her room. It was cramped, with wooden bunk beds and matching dressers. At some point, it must have been a real bedroom, Justine realized, as she noticed the wainscoting and the paneled doors. A dormer window framed the lawn. It could be charming, if only her mother were here to work her magic. Tierney and her father were arguing in the hall. Would she and Tierney undress in front of each other? Despite the features she hated, short legs and big nose, Justine had perfect breasts. And anyone who had ever seen them, 5 boys and 1 full-grown man, agreed. She unpacked her teddy bear, Henry, and set him down on the bottom bunk. The view from the top would make her dizzy. Her roommate appeared, narrowing her eyes as her father struggled through the door with a suitcase. An errant piece of iron-gray hair was hanging down his sweaty forehead.
He stuck out his hand.
Whit Worthington, you must be Justine.
His grip mashed her knuckle joints together.
Where are your parents?
My dad had to take off.
And miss Family Orientation Day?
He set the suitcase down and looked around. They have to work.
Don't we all?
He said, smoothing his hair back into place.
This room is disgusting, Tierney said.
The pictures had been deceiving, Justine had to admit. Hadn't there been a photo somewhere of white bedspreads and flowers in a vase?
And I have two more suitcases.
Couldn't you have brought less?
Mr. Worthington said, rubbing his elbow. Tierney stared her father down like a snake until he left the room. The same lime green eyes now assessed Justine.
I'm Tierney. Nice shoes, she said. Where'd you get them?
New Haven. Tierney opened her clutch, pulled out a lip gloss, and applied it.
Does your father teach at Yale? What's his name?
She dropped the tube in the purse and closed the bamboo clasp. Miles. He runs a theater. It took Tierney a moment to process this information.
Oh, maybe I'll check it out when I'm enrolled. Loads of Worthingtons went to Yale, she added.
Tierney spotted Justine's stuffed bear.
No, wait, I have to have the bottom bunk.
I'll barf if I have to sleep up there, Justine pleaded.
I have acrophobia, you know, fear of heights.
Tierney threw her clutch on the lower mattress. Justine moved Henry to the top bunk. His button eyes stared down at her forlornly.
Is that all you have?
Tierney asked, pointing to Justine's suitcase. Justine nodded, suddenly anxious to get outside.
See you in a bit. I'm going for a butt.
A what? A cigarette? Tierney looked aghast.
What kind of parents would give their kid permission to smoke?
Justine's parents, that's who. Justine had filled out the permission forms herself, checking off yes for everything. Her father had signed without reading them.
Yes, you can smoke.
Yes, you can stay home alone while we go to England.
Yes, you can stay out all night drinking and puke on our front steps.
Yes, you can lose your virginity in our bed.
I'd never, ever, ever smoke, Tierney continued. Daddy's a plastic surgeon. He says when you cut people open, you can tell if they smoke by how their blood congeals.
Justine walked across the sloping avenue that bisected the campus. It was a cloudless day, and a breeze rustled through the maples. Her parents were firm believers in public education, and, in theory, she was too. But the day after her friend Raoul overdosed on heroin in the boys' bathroom, she'd called Griswold and requested an application. An envelope arrived a week later, enclosing a glossy brochure. The cover bore a coat of arms with the school's motto, Incipit Vita Nova, which Cressida proudly translated as, Here Begins New Life. Reading the course catalog, Justine felt a thrill of possibility. An entire semester on Faulkner, another on Emily Dickinson. She was accepted with a full scholarship. At home, heated discussion ensued. Justine worried about keeping up with the wealthy kids. She wasn't concerned about the boys. Boys were something she did well. But the money. She barely had enough to buy a soda. But all her parents could fret about was their daughter being corrupted by privilege. In the end, despite her parents' misgivings and her own, Justine enrolled. An old friend from New Haven, who had gone to Griswold, had described townies roaring through in Camaros, chucking flaming beer
Sample complete. Ready to continue?